We got a really good episode for you today. Basketball is back, baby. Nets, Lakers, Sunday. First preseason game of the year. Got to see some of the young guys get out there and ball a little bit. Really excited to have basketball back in our lives. Once again, we're going to break it all down for you. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Thanks so much for linking the Locked On Nets, your first listen every day. We're free and available on every and all platforms. I'm Doug Norrie. Super excited to be breaking NBA basketball back down again. That is Adam Armbrecht, who's double excited because he was hosting the One Giant podcast today. Giants get their first win. Nets are back in action. It was one of the all-time great sports days, really, just across all platforms. Buddy, how are we doing Sunday night leading into Monday?
As far as I'm concerned, the NFL season just started today, my friend. And what more symbolic gesture than a New York Football Giants win as the Brooklyn Nets also officially start their season preseason. But nonetheless, it counts, and we can start to get that little tickle as the NBA is back in action.
Oh, buddy, you can feel the buzz. The basketball is back. Nets Twitter buzzing. The Twitterverse, the NBAverse, all kind of going crazy here. Oh, the first preseason game of the year, Nets, Lakers. Did any good players play? Anthony Davis did. But, you know, do we care? No. Basketball is back. It just means we're getting so close here, and it's so exciting. In some ways, the offseason felt really, really long. In some ways, it felt super short. Tons of stuff happened. And the NBA is nothing if not a 365-day, there you go, news cycle. And so NBA kind of never really leaves our lives, but then all of a sudden it just comes back, and we're watching guys hoop up and on the court again. It just was really, really exciting. We're going to get into the game here in a second. Obviously, you saw in the title, the rookies. That's the big story here today. But just from a high level real quick, leading into the game, seeing the guys take the court here, did it feel like we were fully heading back in the basketball season here?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know why, too, because you mentioned the big three didn't play. But I didn't have a lot of anticipation they were going to. So it's not like you hear the lineup, you see them come out, and you go, oh, boy, I wish those guys were out there. We know what those guys are. It was just exciting to see, let's say, Steve Nash on the sidelines, right? You get a guy like Bruce Brown out there, obviously. But then this young class of players that the Nets have brought in, that to varying degrees are going to have roles. But this feels like beyond Vegas, right, beyond training camp. This is when you get to say, oh, okay, let's start to confirm some information that we've been suspicious about. And it's only once it's NBA, once the season starts, that's when you think you're getting real knowledge on any of these players.
Yeah, so Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie all sit this game out. We kind of knew that ahead of time. We get a starting lineup of Bruce Brown, DeAndre Bembry, Javon Carter, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap. Not a shooter to be had among that group. So I just thought it was funny that this was the way that they started. I was like, oh, there's not going to be any floor space in here. But that's who they end up going with in terms of starters. But I don't know if we need to spend too much time on that group, because that felt like a placeholder of sorts. Like all those guys, maybe short of Carter, I'm not sure if he ends up, he probably makes it out of the camp and is part of the 15-man roster. But really the story here was the draft picks and the rookies, because it's easy to get excited. We're in summer league. Well, we were not summer league, but watching all the summer league games, Cam Thomas, we kind of knew that there was probably the Nets had found something, right? Like summer league, it's going to tell you some things. It's not going to tell you others. Some players are going to shine more than others, just in terms of their skill sets. But Cam was so freaking good in Vegas, and it was easy to see his game translating at the NBA level. And if this first preseason game against, you know, actual NBA players, not the full Lakers squad, but this is a group of guys who are mostly rotation players here, it really, really carried over.
Oh, 100%. And I think, so there's a couple of different angles on this specifically around Cam Thomas and what he did in this game, but I will just throw it out there as we get over to the tweets every once in a while. Cam Thomas, this is from Matt Brooks, who does a great job covering the post-game pressers. Scoring is scoring. I don't know why people say scoring doesn't translate or can't translate. And I think, well, we'll follow that up with some additional information, but the kid was a scorer in college. He was a scorer in Vegas. He was looking good in training camp. Now you put him out in preseason and he keeps scoring. Like, if nothing else, Cam Thomas is not short of confidence. And there's a reason why. Because it doesn't matter. Like, put me on the floor, I'm going to score for you. And this continues the narrative of this offseason from the draft on of how many teams might be regretting not taking Cam Thomas. Because it seemed like at the time the Nets got a gift. And this is another sample size to tell you. Yeah, probably did. Like, the rich got richer when the Nets had Cam Thomas fall to them.
And just in case you were wondering, if you're not watching on YouTube, Adam was putting up some of these tweets over on YouTube channel, yes, for Locked On Nets. Show notes, you can find it there. All the videos are going up there, so make sure you are liking and subscribing over there on YouTube. You can see what we're putting up every day, but get some of the visuals too. Get me wearing my Nets hat that kind of, you know, mostly fits, kind of not. But yeah, so the Thomas thing, look, I don't think we can take too much out of the starting lineup piece because they weren't going to start any of the rookies. That was just right. That was very clear what they were doing here. They're like, okay, we're gonna start mostly guys who are like veterans. Maybe there aren't so many question marks around them. But then when it comes to the first rotations, that's where we're gonna start seeing, you know, the guys who could probably not. I mean, except for Thomas, but maybe break the rotation when it comes to the season, because Thomas comes in, Kessler Edwards comes in, David Duke Jr. comes in. That was one of the first rotations. But just going back to Cam Thomas, you know, in summer league, the idea that we saw with him was he was a chucker, and sometimes that's used pejoratively because it can mean, you know, just someone that comes out there and the ball is going to go up, sort of bedam the situation. The thing with him is that we saw is that he for sure just as good. The ball's, he's letting it fly, right? So there's no doubt about that. But we saw it again here with just real NBA defenders, real rotation players, his ability to get to his spot when he wants to. Mid-range game was for sure there still. You know, he put a couple guys, he had Anthony Davis in the blender once. Davis kind of picked his pocket, but he still got it back, hit a mid-range jumper. He got another one where he put, I think it was Kendrick Nunn, might have been Wayne Ellington, again, crossed him up for a baseline jumper, and he just looked good, man. It's going to be hard to see, like, he's got to play, right? I mean, I know this is one preseason game, I'm not trying to go crazy, but between preseason and summer league, would you say what we've seen so far that Cam Thomas deserves to be, you know, 14 minutes? I'm trying to make the number up, but at a full strength team, like, where do we think we see Cam Thomas? Because it just translated one for one right away.
And to lead into it, follow up with an additional quote from Steve Nash after the game, speaking about Cam Thomas in the rotation this year. We'll see about the rotation. We've got a lot of veteran guys. We've got a lot of scoring punch. So we'll see, but we love him. And, you know, listen, I think that that's just Steve Nash tampering expectations, not for the media. He's doing that for Cam Thomas. Go ahead and understand, you can look dynamic and explosive here. There's still a long way for you to go as far as where you're going to fit into this team. And the offensive side of it does matter. Thing is, though, when you're this good, 21 points in 22 minutes, I think Cam Thomas is going to make a very strong case over the remainder of the preseason to say, but when one of these guys needs a rest? Because the difference is when you look in behind Harden and Kyrie at the guard spots, you're not looking for Bruce Brown to come in there and be a dynamic scorer all on his own. I think Javon Carter, they like him, but that's more of a byproduct scorer, right? Cam Thomas is a give me the ball in my hands and I'll go attack. And when we talked about last year, remember, the absence of Dinwiddie due to injury is what created this real lull when you got into the second unit and someone who could take it over and run that offense with some consistency. Worst case scenario, there's going to be runs during the year where they get to say, hey, Cam, go nuts. Like, I think that that's going to be a part of it where you almost, you know, you unleash him for a spell and they say, okay, great job, buddy. That's what we wanted to see from you there. All the other little details, and Nash mentioned this defensively, you know, assignments, knowledge, learning the game, that's going to come. But the scoring piece of it, they're going to be able to tap into that whenever they want. So I expect him to be a part of the rotation. To your point, how many minutes? That's the TBD.
All right, we're going to get to some more of Cam Thomas's play, get into some more of these rookies as well, what we saw from some of the rotations in this first preseason game. First, going to talk to you about our friends over at Sleeper. You might be heading into some fantasy drafts coming up pretty soon, but fantasy basketball about to gear up. Fantasy football, obviously, well underway. You know you can run into some sharks when it comes to this stuff. You can just run into people that are going to end up streaming, players just getting the most games they can out of a given week, and you're already an underdog when you're just running up against opponents like that. Sleeper has figured all of this stuff out. It's a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick. It's only available on Sleeper. And Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count toward their team's total score. It makes sure that you have an even number of games played between all opponents, so you're not going to run into, like I said, some of those streaming monsters that are just going to just kind of bury you with the number of games they put in there. Sleeper's just not going to let that happen. If you prefer redraft, keeper, dynasty, Game Picks has all of it covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy basketball or fantasy football, you prefer building out weekly strategies versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app. Start a league with your friends, colleagues, strangers today. You won't be disappointed. Download the Sleeper app right now. One-of-a-kind Game Pick is the most strategic fantasy basketball experience in the industry. Download the Sleeper app today.
Rhetorical question. Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights from your phone while you're begging your neighbor to get those codes so you can hop onto all the other streaming services and watch some of those little programs that you've been waiting to catch up on. Well, I want to let you know about, of course, DirecTV Stream, which allows you to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, all underneath one simple access point. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV, on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more needing to buy another device ever again, and the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. And if I just could say, friends, we of course appreciate that you make Locked On Nets your first listen every single day. As you know, we're free and available on all platforms, so continue to enjoy us as we enjoy you.
Okay, so Cam Thomas ends up playing 22 minutes here, scores 21, leads the Nets in scoring, ended up putting up 14 shots, 7 of 14 for the field. Only three three-pointers. Nets actually didn't bomb a ton in this game, all things considered. Only took 24 three-pointers. That's a little bit of that as a byproduct of who they put out there in the starting lineup. Like I said, that was not a group of shooters. That was a bunch of veterans that went out there to start the game, but they weren't in there to bomb away. So he ends up going 7 for 14. And here's the other part of his game that's so important. Gets to the line 7 times. This is one of those skills that sometimes is not as easy to see when it's just not as easy for rookies specifically to translate it to the NBA. Drawing fouls, comfortable getting fouled, like the part where you're comfortable getting fouled because you can take you can sort of bring the action to a defender. He's very in control of his body. When you're very in control of your body, especially around your shot, you're going to draw a lot of fouls, and that's going to be we saw it a ton in summer league. He got fouled a ton in summer league.
Yeah,
and that is a skill. Getting fouled, getting to the line is a skill. James Harden's maybe the best in the league at it, right? Like, these guys are, if you can learn from Harden, he said he spent a lot of time with Kyrie as well, was one of the quotes he had after the game. This is Cam Thomas. These are the skills that are, these skills like are really fungible when it comes to NBA talent. Because if you have the ability to get NBA level defenders to foul you, it's like basically free money when you're good at the free throw line. And if you can do it already at this part of his game, it's just so exciting to see that this was able to translate really early, especially that those two pieces of the game, getting into the spots where he needed to be and also inviting contact, because just not a lot of guys want to do that.
Yeah, there's a difference. It seems, you know, Cam Thomas just seems like an NBA-ready body as well, right? I mean, he's just 20 years old, or just 19 years old, I think is the accurate age point there. And yet he looks physically capable of playing amongst NBA players. And a lot of times you see this, a point guard or any position, bigs usually can struggle from this sometimes too. It's you come into the league, yeah, you're going to want to throw on another 20 pounds of muscle to be able to really consistently bang bodies with guys. Same thing from a body control standpoint, getting in the lane. And then I think to your point about on ball, the ability to create enough of a problem for NBA defenders that you're getting past them, that you're a step late, that you're a step behind, or that you're trying to reach in and then drawing contact and getting to the line. So, again, I said at the top, as far as checking boxes goes, this is another piece. You can be a good scorer, but not be great necessarily being able to drive to the basket. So Cam Thomas is going to have to live on the perimeter early in his career. That's not going to be the case. So he has an all-around offensive game that you can rely on, it looks like, at least. And again, you know, first preseason game, it's not all the starters on all sides, but he was basically doing it by himself, and that's an important piece to being a real offensive threat with consistency.
Yeah, look, he led all scorers and did not play anywhere close to the most minutes of anyone that played.
Right.
Right? Like, these are all these signs that point to just a really... the Nets really, really found something. And again, I tried to temper my excitement when it came, or expectations coming out of Summer League, recognizing that that Summer League, that game, is this LeBron James and Russ Westbrook and all these other guys playing there? No, I get that it's not. It's still definitely, definitely a step up from Summer League because there's just a more controlled piece of it. It's less streetballish, which a lot of the stuff we saw in Vegas was like that. Just kind of up and down the court. Defense was really not put at a premium. This is where we started to see guys getting into sets. We started to actually see some game action when it came to running action sets. So, it was all on display. And if the Nets are going to be okay, because here's the other part, and then we'll get into some of these other rookies. We knew in Summer League that the Nets said, hey, you can shoot as much as you want. Like, that was obviously something that was either said directly or just implied by allowing him to do it because he just shot every single time he got the ball, it seemed like. But the fact that that has now translated into an actual, you know, mini NBA game where it's still okay for him to do that and he clearly wants to, that kind of confidence is tough. It's tough to replicate. Like, that is not an easy thing to replicate at the NBA level. And if you play on a team with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and I know they didn't play, but you're still on that team, and the idea is that you can go out and shoot kind of as much as you want to, which I think is kind of what they're kind of saying to him. I think that there's just incredible upside on it. And then we can get into some of these other guys.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to go a little bit off the page here, but I'm curious. Do you think that over the course of this season, Cam Thomas can develop his game enough, and specifically the consistency of the shooting touch, especially if maybe he gets smaller sample sizes, right? He's not going to get 14 looks in a game, but if he can show that he can hit a high percentage on 3 or 4 shots per game, is there a world by the back end of this season we're looking at him as being as viable an option to bring in among KD and Harden, you know, one of them's off or whatever, that you can bring him in to be on the perimeter and be a sharpshooter among the Joe Harrises of the world on this roster? Do you think his stroke is pure enough that you could use him that way as well? Because that to me would be the most dynamic way that he can impact this roster, you know, this season and going forward, where, hey, you're a good enough shot that we can rely on you in that same way to play off of these stars when they are on the court.
Yeah, that's probably putting a little bit ahead of it, I think, just because his game hasn't really needed to do that yet. Again, all the situations we still have seen him in right now are he's like the scorer on the court, right? This game was another example of that. He's not played with those other, from what we've seen, he's not played with other, like, he really at this point hasn't played, or that we've seen him play with, anyone who's a better scorer than him. Right.
Doesn't have to, like, work off ball. Doesn't have to create space and find a spot for himself to be available. Right. That isn't something he's had to develop.
Exactly. Right. We just haven't seen that yet. That was not the case in Summer League. It wasn't the case in this game either, where they were not, you know, they didn't play their 3 best players. And so we just have, and Harris didn't play either, but we just haven't seen that thing. So I'm going to hold off on that one because I just don't know yet if we can make that claim. We just haven't seen it all. He hasn't needed to do it. There clearly will be a hierarchy pecking order when that's the case, and he will be much further down on the list. But I think what we saw from him, and then if we get into some of these other rookies, because if you look at the first rotations, I mentioned it before, the first 3 guys in off the bench, it was staggered. So Cam was first, and then the second rotation, which happened like 2.5 minutes later, or 1.5 minutes later, was Kessler, Edwards, and David Duke, who ended up also playing a lot of minutes here and also looked more than competent on the court. And again, we weren't getting the A team from the Lakers here, but, you know, coming out of Summer League with these guys too as wings and then, you know, sort of like a more on-ball guard, it was pretty encouraging to see that they might have gotten some stuff here later in the draft also.
Yeah, let's hit with Duke Jr. to start, just because the 2 quotes that came out from him as well, just as far as his first preseason action: whenever I step on the court, I play the same way. what has got me here, I'm going to use that to keep going. Also went on to say, whether I'm an all-star or it's on a two-way, I'm going to play the same way. Just because I think this is the theme of all of these rookies, and you heard it on the broadcast as well. They all seemed comfortable. Like, none of them seemed overwhelmed or out of sorts. They all seemed very much in rhythm, regardless of the competition they were playing against. Have you been surprised? Because I know Duke Jr. started to get some buzz when they were in Vegas, and it's been a theme. It's carried over. He's in the running for the second two-way contract, potentially, at least. He's performed that well. Have you been surprised that he keeps checking the box? It's one thing for Cam Thomas to do it, but if it does feel a little bit different when Duke Jr., and then we'll obviously get to Kessler Edwards as well. Like, these other guys, it's a little surprising to see them looking as competent early, right?
Yeah, I'll definitely answer that in a second here, because we have some thoughts, especially around those two ways, and you know, try not to overreact, but still wanting to react to what we saw in this first preseason game. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. Oh, the flavors on Built Bar. This is where they really get you, because they have all the stats to back up with the health piece, the protein bar, you know, just the overall texture of it, but they really concentrated on the flavors. Coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, cookies and cream, strawberry. Just some of the flavors you're going to find for Built Bar. Again, they focused on that to make sure it's delicious. Absolutely 100% covered in chocolate as well. The best protein bar on the market. I told you about the stats too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Calories from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Those are the numbers you like to see. Right now, Built Bar was the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. If you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
So flesh it out for me then. Yeah, with those. I was going to say, just continue on with the takeaways from Duke and expectations from him coming in versus where he's gotten to in a relatively short amount of time.
Look totally competent. Again, like, you know, I want to temper the expectation here a little bit, just because this is mostly NBA talent, but this is a lot of other guys that are fighting for two ways. This is like trying to get extended looks at some of these guys to try to see who's going to take those last couple spots. The Nets are in a good position here because they look very deep around these guys, and there's probably going to be some hard decisions, whether someone just ends up permanently in Long Island, I'm not sure. But he looked really in control for a guy that looks pretty athletic. I mean, they're absolutely playing their hardest because I think they know what the stakes are. He was able to get out and transition a little bit. This is Duke, by the way. Was able to get out and transition a little bit. Couple passes, but for the most part, these guys were looking for their shots when they were able to. He put up 9 shots in 31 minutes. He probably doesn't crack the rotation just because of where they are, but in terms of if you knew you had him on a two-way and feel pretty good about it, I think that he's already looks better than some of the other guys they had in this situation in previous years. And so maybe that's me just kind of getting out ahead of my skis a little bit too much with him, because he's been put in really advantageous situations. But from him and Edwards too, it looks like from this first game, all the stuff we saw in Summer League really translated over right away. Right. And that's, I think if nothing else, that's really, really super encouraging.
Yeah, because I think when you consider taking any draft pick at any point, even later in the first round, you wonder, is this going to be a purely developmental project? Is there something they can contribute early? And even just from they're not going to be big contributors on our active roster. We're looking to win a championship, but you know that you also have young talent that, whether it's on this roster, moving later, you know, whatever it is, you've brought in competent players. And the biggest piece that you brought up was last season's roster, right? We know what that looked like. When you went from the starting unit and then the first handful of guys off the bench and you got a little bit deeper, the offense kind of started to fall apart. There's injuries involved in that, but there wasn't a lot of consistency there. And it does feel like most of these players and whoever ends up on the second two-way are guys that they feel comfortable in and providing consistent offensive output. And I think that that can be a marked difference between pouring it on and then trying to survive versus pouring it on and then basically playing even and turning it back over and going, you may never get a chance to come back on this type of team. So I think that's what all these guys are playing for. Johnson, I like the way Johnson's game looked. I don't want to gloss over Kessler Edwards, who equally seemed to get buzz. And he was put on that early two-way. Like, seemed like borderline immediately he got the first of the two-way contracts. And to me, even though the stat line may not look as exciting, he fits the role and position in the positionless game that I think the Nets would most benefit from having another player like that, maybe beyond Duke Jr. and even beyond Cam Thomas when you talk about the position he plays relative to the talent on the roster.
Yeah, he's lankier wing. He needs to bulk up a little bit for sure. None of his game is good enough in any one particular area right now to warrant anything more than like a speculative sort of developmental run for him. I think that it was good to see him get some minutes. Again, he's too, like, the shot probably needs to improve a little bit, especially at the release. He needs to, again, like, totally bulk up because he's pretty small and he's going to.
He has that funky shot. Yeah. College. I mean, it seems to work for him, but you wonder, like, working for you, YouTube, air quotes, working for you at college is different than working for you at the pros. It's like you talk about the transition of the game, right?
Yeah, like, it just looks a little weird. The guys have been able to survive with a weird-looking shot, but when the release level is low, which I think his is, I need to look at it a little closer, it appears like his is a little low with a little bit of a hitch. That's going to be hard, I think, over the long term. And like I said, if he's going to have to defend, because if you're going to be like, if he profiles as a 3-and-D wing, then he's just not big enough right now to do that. And so that's going to be a work in progress. But it's clear that the Nets from this first game with this rookie class, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, for us in this new iteration of the Nets, like, we haven't really seen this piece with this many rookies to kind of get excited about, right? I think that's one reason why, and we're going to get to some of these bigs tomorrow, but it's why one reason I think why people still hold on to the Claxton piece. I think that there's reason to hold on to it, but it's also because, like, he's just a young guy that they're trying to develop, and you just want that to eventually sort of happen because it's just fun when you draft a guy and you get to bring them along. And
I want the payoff.
Yeah, but for a couple of years, it was kind of just only him. Yep. Right, because they hadn't done much in the draft. They traded away one pick for Shamet last year, who ended up becoming Sadiq Bey. So for the Pistons. But I think that's, we're in a neat situation here where there were some sort of rookies that you can get excited about, and I think coming out of this first preseason game, it's exciting to think about a developmental process where, are these guys ready? Thomas looks like he's getting there, but the rest of them, are they ready now? No, but it looks like the Nets are committed to having this be this parallel journey of championship, but we'll also have a few other guys that we're going to be working on here that will play in Long Island. They'll play on two ways that, you know, they'll kind of bring along. And that seems to be, they're going to be running these two parallel processes. And this first game was a really nice window into, oh, they might have something with some of these guys.
Yeah, and listen, to round it out, the other first-round pick, obviously, you know, De'Ron Sharp, right? And he played the fewest amount of minutes, and I think, as you kind of indicated over a handful of episodes, of just De'Ron Sharp's the guy that's furthest from having an impact and being a real player for the Nets. Doesn't mean he's a bad prospect. And it's just, it's worth mentioning, because even in the small sample size, the idea of, listen, maybe I wanted to squeeze this in, one, because he's one of the rookies, but also because it had to have been impossible to make it through even a preseason game without Dwight Howard somehow being it was awful, right? It was just the most irritating thing to see. He ends up elbowing De'Ron Sharp in the jaw. He did come over to the sideline. There was a quote after the game from Paul Millsap saying, I really like the rookie's composure in that spot. Like, wouldn't have been surprised if even in a preseason game, a young player is willing to go at somebody. But he's big, he's physical, he has a lot to develop. He looked good at the line, which I think is a nice reminder as far as where his shot can hopefully develop to. But I thought about it in terms of, you moved on from DeAndre Jordan, obviously, and this kid that you're going to need to develop, what he already has in that mold of being a rebounding big, right, may not have much of a shot. Athletic enough to range out defensively, though, and work around the perimeter. That's an important component, I think, to being in this parallel track for the Brooklyn Nets is, you need to kind of be building in the same mold of what we think we already have for our championship run. So it's a footnote on him. We're probably not going to hear or see a lot of him, but I like the sample size. And I like, again, that he certainly is a thick kid that is not concerned about getting involved on either end of the floor, which was nice.
We'll talk about Sharp. I'm just so done with Dwight Howard. It's just, can we just,
he's terrible.
Just
dude.
Move on. I just be done. It's nothing about it's fun. It just sort of seems weird. It's like the old guy that hung out at the party too long that's having a little too much fun, and it just seems a little weird. The guy showed up 7 years later at the frat and kind of still wants to be doing the same things. It just, the whole thing just seems so put on. Whatever, anyway. But, Sharp. Yeah, look, it was kind of end-of-the-bench stuff. He didn't get his first minutes till 3 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Kind of ran out the garbage time run. Looked fine, looked tough. like you said, he's the furthest away. But if we're rounding out this rookie class of these guys that they brought in here, he definitely made the most of his minutes. That no doubt yeah. about it, right? Like he was really good in those minutes. The only thing to me was the minutes kind of tell a story. Like where he ended up showing up, kind of was like, oh, not an afterthought, but it kind of like it did sort of lay the groundwork for probably where he ends up in the actual scheme of things going forward.
Sure, and just listen, in a game we may touch on, I'm not going to say any more than, in a game when Nicholas Claxton picked up three very quick fouls right in a preseason game, this is the other guy that you're trying to develop. This is another young player, right? So I just think it's good to get any good sample size is a good thing, and every single rookie gave you a good sample size.
We'll talk about this tomorrow. He looked better than Claxton. I'll tell you that.
Well, and call it the tease, right? Be sure to check in on Tuesday's episode because it may have been a small sample size, but you may have learned more about other players through De'Ron Sharpe and his small minutes that I think, well, listen, it's going the way we thought, I think, and we'll save it. But that's, yeah, other alarm bells may be ringing or at least confirming some stuff. But great stuff from the rookies today. It was just phenomenal to see them out there, and I'm excited to see how they develop. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know me, man. I'll be dipping my toe into the G League waters just to kind of be building a little hype train in the background. Wherever I got to go to follow these kids, I'm going to enjoy them.
Yeah, really good stuff. We'll get to some of these other guys tomorrow. We'll talk a little Claxton. We'll talk about some of the guys in the starting lineup, too. There was some stuff to get excited about with that group. We kind of just wanted to focus on these rookies because that was clearly what the Nets wanted to do also. Like we said at the top, thanks for making us your first listen. You can head over to YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. Every episode and more going on up over there. And also like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Like and subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's about having experiences. It's about building knowledge in these preseason games. It makes me think, you asked me if I have scars? Yes, sir. I have my scars. William H. Billy the Kid from Young Guns.
Oh, Emilio Estevez?
Come on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you better believe it, brother.
All right, pull that one. All right, that threw me off. I love a good Young Guns reference. Lou Diamond Phillips, the whole group. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.